Ball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss some college basketball. And yes, you know, college football, we call it the College Ball Show, right? Because it goes from football to basketball. We obviously are on basketball now. We didn't do a show on Monday night just because they put up over 60 points. So what in the hell were we really going to talk about? I mean, that game was over. Kudos to Georgia. I guess we should have known we were going to get a blowout with how competitive and close and drama-filled those semifinals were. So what are you going to do? So we figured, you know, what are we going to say? Hey, Georgia beat the shit out of them. That's the recap show. That's always. So we figured, why not kind of hold off on that? But we this week, usually we start with recap from the last few days, talk about some of the themes coming up, you know, in the coming weeks or next week's schedule. We'll kind of nutshell some of the top-tier teams who've made some noise in the non-conference, some of those top-tier teams. Recap a Saturday that was full of upsets, and it kind of – this vibe so far, what I'm getting is there's a lot of quality teams. Obviously, you know, being January 16th, RIP MLK, you know, there's a lot to be had. But there, I mean, when you look at some of these conference races, and we'll break them down big conference by big conference, some of the smaller conferences as well, we got ourselves an interesting, really interesting college basketball season coming up. There's not just one or two dominant teams, although you can say, you know, Purdue and Kansas and whatnot, but there's a lot of meat on the bone, let's put it that way. So we're going to get into this. We're going to preview and predict next week, talk about a variety of things here on the College Ball Show, which is, like I said, basketball. We'd like to thank everybody for listening to another successful season of the College Ball Show for football. Of course, the crappy pick of the week. If you stayed up with that, hey, guess what? You made some money. But on to college basketball. And by the way, just as a reminder, we take this one all the way, the College Ball Show, all the way to the national championship. And then after that, what is it, the third week or something like that in April, that's when the NBA playoffs start. There. So then we go into the NBA playoffs. So we keep this thing going all the way to the finals, just so you know. Basketball is here. Football is done, especially if you're a Viking fan like me. Football's really done. We're going college basketball. But anyway, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, thank you very much. Welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. However, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropeadope and listen to the College Ball Show there. You can find the platform to listen to this College Ball Show on under the Ropeadope Radio platform on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Sticker, Spreaker, Stitcher. I said those the complete opposite. That's hilarious. I'm surprised I haven't done that more. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. The prices start as low as $69.99. They still have that 3-month special that saves you $160 as long as you go with the Choice and Above package that gets you HBO Max, Showtime, Stars, Epix, and Cinemax. There's also that deal right now. You save $50 if you go Choice Package and Above, and you get that exclusive DirecTV streaming device. That's DirecTV Stream. Okay, let's go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall, and see how he's doing. Well, college basketball is here, my friend, and we got a wide-open field. I mean, we could talk about some of the top-tier teams and all that, and don't get me wrong, there's plenty of them. We got some, you know, if you look at Purdue and Kansas, and I think you'd have to put in Houston just because of their ranking, but UCLA still has experience coming back from the last few years. Bama, Texas, even though they lost their coach, is looking damn good. Beyond Xavier is looking great. Kansas State is looking great. I mean, dude, Tennessee was looking great until they lost to Kentucky. Like, this thing seems, as far as the non-conference goes, this really looks like a wide-open type year and a very competitive one as we come down to March and we start to fill our brackets out and all that good stuff.
You're right. It does feel that we normally have either this time of the year, Chris, it's like it's a two-horse race, which in the last few years it's been maybe Gonzaga's going to win it all, or there's like a loaded SEC team or something, or, you know, or an ACC team, or it's like, hey, it's a, let you can pick 10 teams out of a hat and one might win a title. So I do like the parity. Obviously, college basketball, we're about, what, 8 weeks away from one of the best weeks of the whole year. So, yes, you're right, my friend. It's a very wide-open race. Last couple of years, it really had been like, oh, well, God's Gonzaga or anyone else or, you know, something like that. But that doesn't seem to be the case. Because even, for example, I've been a
– You brought up Gonzaga twice now, and they still haven't won a championship. So let's talk about some other teams, damn it.
Well, I know. So, and I've been a Tar Heels fan my whole life. But, man, this is probably the worst the ACC's ever been since you and I have done a podcast. Like, that's normally – you know, that's kind of a blue blood conference. But, man, this year, ACC, ugh.
Didn't we say that last year, though? Didn't we say that exact thing last year?
I think we did.
Didn't they get two teams into the Final Four?
True. You're right. And it was
the same damn thing.
It was the best game of my life. I'll never forget that till the day I die when we sent Kay home packing. But I think that
quite going conference to conference, but keep going.
No, yeah, but I just think it's a wide open race, but it is just surprising to see that, wow, like, Carolina, you're right. It's a very interesting season. I have enjoyed college basketball. There's truly no sport like it. We're on a given week, as my co-host said, you can have a bunch of upsets. You can have a team win three games in a row and then lose two in a row. Like, basketball, college basketball is the hardest sport sometimes to handicap because there's so many uncontrollable variables.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch the NBA, you can know on a given night that for the most part, like, Embiid's going to score 30. Luka's going to do something crazy. And Curry's going to get buckets. Like, there's some teams in NBA on a given night, like, okay, they're going to win or play really close. In college basketball, you may watch your team, again, go on a hot streak, and then you got to play your bum rival at the bottom of your conference, and you get beat by 10 on the road. It is such a chaotic sport. I think that's truly why we love it. And, yeah, it's off to a great start this year. And I think we're going to be due for two great months of regular season basketball, like we had two great months of college football this year, well, plus more.
Yeah, and I think Purdue has the – now, we don't know the Purdue final score right now with Michigan State. They were battling it out. Last I checked, Michigan State was up just by a little bit. But I'd say as it stands right now, I think Purdue has the best wins in the country. Kansas only has one loss to Tennessee. They have some solid wins as well. Houston, you know, they have a win over Oregon, and we'll see how good St. Mary's is this year because they, you know, we'll see if they can beat Gonzaga once or whatever. But they only lost to Alabama, so you got to – and Houston's been making some nice runs in the tournament as well, so you got to look at them. UConn and UCLA. UConn is looking really good. UCLA, like I said, still has some guys – that have been there the last 2 years. So they're really interesting. Like you said, the ACC, Clemson, 7-0 start. Miami, Pitt having good starts as well. Even a week ago, the SEC kind of seemed like you had, you know, two top teams. I think it was top five, two of them in the AP until Tennessee just lost. The Big Ten race beyond Purdue is just really tight. Providence, Xavier. We'll kind of go through all this, but the Big 12, I think, has – five or six ranked teams. I think it's going to be really interesting. And then just kind of talking about the landscape, you know, without getting into conferences as far as where everybody stands, the mid-major conference this year, I mean, there are plenty of, you know, Florida Atlantic's popular. The Charleston Cougars, you know, are popular as well. But Nevada, San Diego State, New Mexico, Boise State. You know, right now, the Mountain West is looking pretty damn good as far as that goes. So, you know, I've definitely, when it comes, basically college basketball starts during Thanksgiving, right? That time, that week is when you get to see some marquee matchups kind of finally. Then in December, it's usually a you know, a variety of marquee non-conference stuff. We do get usually one to two conference games now in December, usually mid to early December. And then you start, you know, then you go back to your non-conference. Then you start, obviously we're full conference now beyond like the Big 12 SEC challenge during the year. We'll get that as well. But before we go, you know, conference to conference, Marshall, let's talk about what happened on Saturday, because I mean, we had some really good games like Kansas and Iowa State. Kansas sneaks out of their 62-60. Alabama bounced back 106-66. Good golly. Or not bounced back, but they've been looking really good. Kentucky is a team that was struggling there for a long time. They finally got a nice win at Tennessee. They did play a very tough schedule. We're going to see how they balance out. Oregon just smacked Arizona around. I know they're at home, but golly, that was kind of a surprise. Kansas State, higher ranked against TCU, they basically lost it fairly cleanly. We had a lot of upsets. When you look at ranked teams, I mean, San Diego State, Duke, Providence, Wisconsin, Miami, Arkansas, you know, we had a lot of upsets this last Saturday, and that kind of proves what we're talking about as the early theme anyway. I know we're midway through the college basketball season, but, you know, we're just starting to get knee-deep into the conference races. The way this last Saturday played out, Marshall, kind of goes with the theme of we a lot to be decided yet because this thing's wide open.
Agreed, my friend, agreed. with Kentucky, I had a feeling about that one. Now, everything up until a game would tell you that, hey, like, Tennessee's going to kick their ass, and I think they were a 12-point favorite. But Calipari's been getting a lot of heat, more so than normal. They actually had a guy that brought a sign to the game Kentucky played before Tennessee, where they got beat, and the sign said send him to Texas. So there's been some grief, and actually kicked the guy out of the arena, which was kind of sad, but whatever. Anyways, so you had a feeling that might be a spot where Kentucky bounces back to, you know, because, again, Calipari, give him crap all you want. You know, he's always got new kids coming in and new recruits, but he normally has a pretty good team. This year, they're 2-3 in conference. That's not exactly their regular MO. So it was a surprise win. Maybe Tennessee overlooked them. And obviously that was Tennessee's worst loss of the year. For Arizona, who did lose to Oregon, man, when it was the Maui tournament, I literally told my group chat, I'm like, dude, I'm picking Arizona Final Four. Like that week in Hawaii.
Yeah, you're right. They had a damn good week. Good call on that. They're not done though, but yeah, it's funny how that works.
They looked good. But I've watched them play now. They came out really sluggish against the Washington team. They didn't look too great against Washington State. They got their ass whooped by Oregon, and they've gotten killed by Utah. For my 2 cents on them, they have a lot of talent, but man, I'm trying to think of the word. They don't click together well on offense. They have like 4 guys that are over 7 foot, and a lot of guards who can jack it. Like, and they hit threes, but it doesn't seem like their team chemistry, the team flow is that successful, in my opinion. So something weird about them. Like, they're talented, they have a lot of pieces, but I don't think they've gelled well enough together yet, which explains why their record is good. But when you've lost 2 games in conference by nearly 20 points on the road in both situations, you're clearly not ready to be a great team yet. So we'll see how they progress. And to wrap up, kind of started like you were talking about, in the Big 12, Texas, their record is good, but I've been watching their games quite a bit. They cannot shoot. I don't care what the number, that team, cannot shoot three. Now, they're a good team. They were number two before their coach got fired. But offensively, that is not a gifted team. Defensively, they are good. But, man, that team, if it comes down to, like, three-point shooting, it is Brixey. I think they've airballed four three-pointers, which normally a team who is ranked 10th in the country doesn't do. But holy shit, they can't shoot from deep. And for TCU, K-State.
Is that the whole season or in one game?
No, I
get that stat.
Oh, for the airballs?
Yeah.
Oh, I watched them play Texas Tech.
That's in one game?
Yeah, they airballed four threes, yeah.
I didn't know it's four threes. Wow.
Yeah. So, I know. So you're like, dude, they scored 47 points against Texas Tech in the second half. They did. I'm not saying they're a joke of a team, but for perimeter shooting, that is not something they specialize in. And for K-State TCU, it's kind of like a battle like we had in the football season this year of top dogs in the Big 12. Now, I'm not saying they're both going to finish 1-2, but they're two of the better teams. And TCU, I think, again, much like we talked about in college football podcast, a lot of basketball games are won on what kind of mood is your team in, how's the season going, what's your momentum looking like. And the momentum for TCU.
Mood meaning what happened last week or last game, too, not just.
And, man, for TCU, you'd had two heartbreaking losses. It's kind of like that suck it up or get your butt kicked. And after losing the heartbreaker to Iowa State, and losing a heartbreaker to Texas, where you were up 18 on Texas in Texas the prior game, you kind of feel like, okay, this is a bounce back spot for them. You lose two tough games with two ranked teams in your conference, and they showed up on their home court to beat K-State. And K-State, speaking of Texas's defense at times, K-State dropped 103 points on Texas this year. So Texas is a very interesting team. We'll see how that plays out. But hey, the Big 12 is a lot of fun this year. Saturday was, as you said, a great day. And that's one good thing about college basketball, Chris. Obviously, there are games on throughout the whole week, as we know. But Saturdays, around this time of the year, now that we're in conference play, you're basically going to see like 85% of teams play every Saturday. It's kind of a full slate from 11 o'clock until 11 p.m. You get pretty much any game you want. It's highly like your team's playing either on a Thursday, Saturday, or Sunday for sure. So college basketball, and now with a couple more games shown on Fox and Fox One, you get spoiled almost every Saturday in college basketball hoops like we do in college football, my friend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, I mean, yeah, even more because you have the whole week, like you said. And just to your point, Carr, my guy Carr for Texas, I'm talking about shooting. My guy's shooting 41.1, okay, from three. So
he's got it. It's his comrades who need some help.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Let me get there. Now, there's another guy that plays about 17 minutes a game. He's shooting 42%, Cunningham. But the rest, I mean, two of them don't even take threes as far as the people that play. They literally don't take them. They have 0%. So they don't even take them, right? They do. The other highest is 32%. Otherwise, there's 31%, 28%, 29%, and 15%. But they literally have, in their top nine guys that play, two dudes don't even try them. So, now, the one thing I'll say is their field goal percentage, that's, when we say they can't shoot, it is the outside shooting. Because their field goal percentage, they got a guy with 50, 47, 63, 63, 58, 47, you know, so they got to pass really well to get easy buckets, I guess you could say. You know what I mean? Like they really
have to kind of
spread it around more because, you know, you can't only have two guys. Yeah, they're shooting over 40% for those two guys. But remember when I mentioned Baylor a few years back had those seven guys shooting, what, 36 or 37% and above? Not that you're going to get that, you know, on a team that's going to win the title usually, because that's why I kept bringing it up all year because it was such an anomaly. But Kansas, 16-1, best start, or 17-1, 16-1, best start since 2016 with that win. That was a tight win, no doubt about it. And that Kentucky win, 25-game home winning streak snap from Tennessee. That's another one thing that just kind of maybe kind of look at it. When you look at that Oregon-Arizona, 8-1 now versus Arizona in their last nine meetings. So Oregon, for whatever reason, really has that. Coming into that TCU game, Kansas State had been hot. They had come off three straight wins over ranked opponents. In Arkansas, I also wanted to bring them up. They looked really good early. Now they've lost, I think, three out of four or four out of five. Kind of interesting. As we go through this, let's start with the big
it
East.
Is,
oh, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say, it is surprising to see Arkansas is 1-4 in SEC conference. That's not something you expect. But we'll get to them.
On to the Big East. Here's the preseason poll, okay, voted on by the coaches, okay? Number one, Creighton. Number two, Xavier. Number three, Nova. UConn fourth, Providence is fifth, St. John's sixth, Seton Hall seventh, Butler eighth, Marquette ninth, and then Georgetown and DePaul. So Marquette was rated ninth going into the season. I saw someone actually tweet that the other day. I'll say this, Xavier, their biggest thing, just watching them a few times and then watching their last game against Marquette, Xavier's, they even flashed the stat during the game. Xavier's offense has made a major improvement. If you look at their assists per game, last season 58, their first. Field goals, 108th in the country, third this year. Three-point, we just talked about Texas and three-point. They were 258 in three-point percentage. They're second this year. And then effective field goal, they were like middle of the pack last year, which is 149th basically because there's, you know, over 300 college basketball D1s. They're 10th. So Xavier's made, you know, some really, really big jumps as far as, you know, offensively. And they do find themselves at 7-0 on the conference. You got Providence there 6-1, Marquette 6-2, and then from 4-3 to 3-5. I mean, I don't think Xavier's going to run away with it by any stretch, just because they had just beat Providence. But you know, this thing's going to be competitive at the top and in the middle, like it is. You know. Per usual, last year it kind of felt like there was four quality teams and then there was a drop off. This year it's going to go a little deep because, you know, Nova, they don't have their coach. They're kind of stumbling out the gate. Butler's kind of stumbling out the gate. Even a quality Seton Hall team, St. John's, they're okay. I've seen them twice, 4-4 and 3-5. Once again, I hate to keep, it's not a, you know, not trying to do the broken record thing, but the wide open thing really hits home, even in a lot of these conference races.
I truly enjoy seeing Nova struggle for a team that caused me some heartbreak in a Carolina title game, and just a team that's been consistently really, really good for a long time.
The first thing suffer. He talks about the Big East, he makes it North Carolina centric.
Yeah, I enjoy seeing that team lose. I'll say that. Yeah, but I think, Chris, that Xavier might be this year's Providence. And I say it because last year Providence was the most experienced team in the country. And they had a nice run. They made the Sweet 16. When I was watching this Xavier team play a few games over the last few weeks, they give me those vibes because there's four guys who I feel like I text my buddy. I'm like, dude, I think these guys on Xavier have been there for like 6 years. Like Fremantle, Kobe Jones, and Nungi. Like, those dudes are all seniors, but, man, they've pretty much been playing basketball all of them since they were freshmen. So this is a team where, again, very similar to Providence last year of, dude, we're maybe not the most skilled team in the country, but we have guys who are in the system, they've been teammates forever, and they know how to play, and they're a good team. So I could easily see them having that similar run, and they shoot the three ball well, they play defense well, and they're an okay free throw shooting team. So I'd expect the Xavier team, not necessarily to win the conference, but to stay up top this year, just because that's kind of the team they are. And as you mentioned, for the rest of the Big East, you know, St. John's, they had a nice win yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
Over UConn as like a 14.5 point underdog. And UConn, again, was all the way up to, I believe, top two or three in the country. And they've been on a bit of a funk, but that shows they have the pieces. Providence, who is 6-1, and to give their coach credit for Ed Cooley, dude, who saw that coming? Because they literally did lose their entire team. The only guy who played last year any minutes was that Boswell, their backup center. He's playing now. But if you watch Providence last year and Providence this year, it's literally a whole new starting five. So credit to them. Marquette, maybe this is the best team Shock has had over there. And Creighton, that's a team, Chris, who was picked to finish, as you said, top two in the district or in their conference. And
high school coach talking. High school coach talking.
They've had some.
Back in my day, it was regional. It wasn't section. It was regional.
They've had some tough losses, but on paper, it's a good team, and they're not one to discredit, but maybe they just need to get their ducks in a row just a little bit. But again, that's a team that's very talented as well. So yeah, it's a very top heavy, Big East as usual, and it's going to be a fun looking district. But yeah, you've had a couple teams bounce inside the top 10. So it should be an enjoyable conference, much like it was last year to watch.
Yeah. And in Xavier, you know, leading the way 7-0, you got Providence 6-1, 6-2 Marquette, but Xavier has at UConn, at Creighton, and Providence at home. So let's see how they fare, you know, when it comes to that. And speaking of, you talked about, you know, the Big 12 is going to be really interesting. I mean, holy shit, this is not top heavy. KU undefeated. K-State 4-1. Texas 4-1. Iowa State 4-1. 3-2. And even teams like, you know, 0-5 is a tough way to start. Texas Tech and West Virginia, I'm talking to you. That's really tough. Baylor at 2-3 probably is going to pull out of that. TCU is a quality team. They're 3-2. This is going to be a great, great one. And it's been a really fun – ever since Kansas, even though, you know, they won the big one, they haven't been able to always win, you know, the Big 12 lately. And so that's been fun. Baylor came out of the Big 12 and won the championship as well. So they – like in the coming weeks, let's keep an eye not just on the conference, but the leader right now is Kansas. In the coming weeks, you know, they have a difficult schedule coming up. And then same with this, actually coming up real shortly for Kansas, but in the coming weeks as well, a really tough stretch for Texas. So when we talk about, you know, my co-host brought up their outside shooting from three, we're going to find out about it, especially – you know, there's been good buys with this new coach, but it is pretty abrupt for your damn coach to get fired, you know, for domestic abuse during the damn season. That's pretty freaking crazy. And it's really an unfortunate thing. It's a horrendous thing, really, because domestic abuse, but just in general, like, he really had Texas going the right way. And sure, maybe this season – I hate to say the word salvaged because they're doing pretty good. And if they do well during this stretch, they could have a great year. They're seventh in the country. But as far as will they keep this upward trajectory, this season's big, I think, for recruiting just based off that, to keep this positive vibes going in Texas because, you know, only one coach in the last 20 years or so has been able to get them anywhere. But it just, you know, that coach produced a lot of talent from Texas, a lot of good point guards, but it just doesn't seem like they put it all together. But yeah, the Big 12, man, this thing is really, really wide open. I'm really looking forward to it. And like you said about the ACC, you know, competitive as hell, though. We'd say it looks like shit because the North Carolina, the Duke, the Florida State, the Notre Dame, the Louisville at 0-7. Those first teams I mentioned, even NC State, 4-3, 4-3, 4-3, Syracuse, 5-2. Wake, though, is Wake, Pitt, and now Miami, who a few years ago had a good run. Now it looks like they're coming back. But Marshall, like I said earlier, we said this last year, and they got two out of the four in the final four. But Clemson is 7-0, right? And you have five freaking teams at 5-2 and three teams at 4-3. This thing is so wide open.
You're right. Maybe there's not a blue blood that you're used to seeing ranked in the top five, but you're right. This probably is the most competitive top to bottom Big East, ACC we've ever seen. Well, in a long time. Obviously Clemson has normally always been like a decent squad, but they're only like one of those teams that's on the urge of the bubble every year. Pittsburgh, man, they've kind of been in a regroup phase with Capel as the head coach. I feel like they've kind of been down the slumps for like the past 4 to 5 years, ever since Jamie Dixon left to go to TCU. Maybe now they're finally getting a gathering of talent, which, you know, Capel was able to recruit. And Miami is pretty much probably the most boringest team that the media doesn't cover, but consistently, Chris, almost seems to make the tournament every single year and win a game or two in the tournament. So, you're right. It is a fun-looking conference this year. Carolina, man, they've had some moments where they look like they're just happy with last year's title run and or make it to the title and then just don't care. Duke is going through the hiccups of kind of having a new coach come into their program and run it, which obviously you can understand that. But yeah, top to bottom, I mean, Wake Forest, even the 5-2, that has to be, Chris, the best start Wake Forest has had in probably 7 or 8 years.
Yeah,
and I mean it's been a minute for him. And then Florida State, you're so used to Leonard Hamilton having his team, like, especially this far into the season, being first or second place. That's almost like cliche Leonard Hamilton to be 6-1, 7-0, and just showing up there first or second place. So they're off to a bit of a slow start. But again, I would never count out Leonard Hamilton's team because that'd be foolish. So you're right. It's maybe not quite the standings we expect, but if we're talking parity and what should be a really fun conference besides Louisville, might want to bring back Rick Pitino. it is a very fun top-to-bottom conference, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, starting 0-7, good luck battling out of that one, dude.
That's tough.
We're talking about how it's not top-heavy, it's mid-level.
Sure.
Because there is like 6 to 8 teams that are really, you know, have something there. A deep conference right now, as far as national rankings and just in general in the last handful of years, several years now, the SEC, it's no longer just a football conference. We've said that for years. It's not just Kentucky and Florida. And then, oh, by the way, Tennessee, if they're not, you know, cheating or whatever, you know, that's usually all you'd say. But, man, even a team like we just mentioned, Arkansas, they're still 25th based off some wins they have, but they're 1-4 in that conference. You got Alabama undefeated, as is Texas A&M, which if Texas A&M, let's say, were to finish top four in this conference, man, that football team has some explaining to do. But that's neither here or there. Auburn, 4-1. Tennessee just lost. Otherwise, it would be Alabama and Tennessee undefeated. Florida. Missouri actually was having a bounce back year. They're 2-3 now, but they actually had some decent performances. Mississippi State has been good lately. Not so much right now. Kentucky, like we said, 2-3, but you know, not long ago you had two top five APs. You still have three top 16 teams. The SEC is for real, man. It ain't going anywhere.
I think the thing is, Chris, is the fact that A&M, they have a new style offense in basketball. They just don't want to switch over for football. So the basketball team is modern. You know, they're willing to be with the, you know, the time of the day and stay up on things. And Jimbo's like, dude, I'm old school, man.
Hey, didn't Jimbo bring in somebody that's like, I don't know, who cares? Let's talk about that.
So, well, and speaking of the Alabama basketball team, I don't know if it was a current player or former, but one of the Alabama basketball players I just saw on Twitter this morning got arrested for murder.
He was going to be out for the whole year.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
The ankle injury didn't really, not much. I mean, you know, definitely worth reporting. Don't get me wrong. But as far as what it means to on the court minutes, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you are right. That just happened.
And, you know, speaking of Alabama, that's a team where, God, for like the past 3 years, they've really kind of put themselves on the map. They seem to always have a really group of talented guards, and they haven't made a super deep run in the tournament yet, but they're it almost seems like they've been on a sweet 16 pace for the last couple of seasons. So can they continue to progress up? Auburn as well with Bruce Pearl. They don't really have started out the years very hot. Again, they've had one really good run in March Madness, but that's a team, again, you'd expect to be doing pretty well. And Tennessee, up until this weekend, was one of the best teams in the country. Obviously, losing to a pissed-off Kentucky kind of must-win team is not a bad loss either.
Right.
And for a team like Georgia, 3-1, that's surprising. Vanderbilt, 2-2, a bit surprising, too. And hell, Missouri was ranked last week, which normally you don't see as well. So, you're right. The fact that Arkansas, who was ranked or is currently ranked, is 1-4. It kind of does show that against a top heavy, or not top heavy, a kind of a deeper division than we're used to. Because for a while there, Chris, it was Canada, the SEC is a little bit weak. And then in the past 4 to 5 years, it's gotten stronger. I think now we're kind of starting to see it get a little more of a overall stronger conference. Because I feel the last 4 to 5 years of our podcast has been, well, you got Tennessee, you got Kentucky, and then you have a gathering of teams. Maybe this year we're more so into the, it's not just two, it's maybe in that 4 to 5 to 6 range. So I think the conference has been on an upward projection for the last handful of years, and it's continuing to improve going into this season as well.
Yeah, and we'll wrap it up with the Big Ten, but we'll stay out west for a second. UCLA 7-0, Arizona State 6-1. That's a game that's coming up here. Both all these teams have big games coming up. Arizona does need to protect their home court against UCLA on Thursday. That is something that we'll keep an eye on. But it's for years when we did this podcast, we talk about the Thursday night games for the Pac-12 and how awesome they used to be, and the Pac-12 network and all that stuff, how some of these games you can't see. But last year they made a good run. They had three teams that went deeper than some other conferences. So I think, it's on the up and up somewhat. Now, obviously, USC and UCLA leaving, and maybe more to come. We'll see where it goes, but it's definitely, a pretty good conference as we speak. And then, like I mentioned earlier, keeping it out west, the Mountain West, Nevada's 5-1, Boise State 4-1, and the teams that were ranked and talked about more was San Diego State and New Mexico. New Mexico got off to that good start. They've since lost two games. They're 16-0, but all four of those teams, I think, have been ranked. But San Diego State and New Mexico, like I said, in November and December, kind of were making noise. But Nevada and Boise State, I got to say, as far as the mid-major, like I said earlier, the Mountain West is something to keep an eye on this year.
And I didn't know, Chris, that the New Mexico Lobos, so I've watched them play a few games. They're off to a really good start this year, 16-2, 3-2 in conference. Patino Sun is out there.
You're talking to a guy who he just used to coach the Gophers? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was unaware that he'd taken that game.
Fully aware. Yeah, fully aware. Fully aware.
I have not
seen second year.
I've not seen Nevada or Boise play, but, hey, if you're 5-1, 4-1, that shows you're off to a good start this year. Just a few notes on the Pac-12, as you said, before we get to the Big Ten and wrap these conference previews up. Obviously, UCLA, they've had a nice run now for about 3 years in a row. Arizona State, man, God bless that team, Chris. I've bet them 7 times this year. They are 7-0. Every time I've bet that squad, man, they have paid bills for me. So God bless Arizona State. So I will support that team for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you have. Ever since I met you with Harden, is the first player that we were talking about, right? Was it Harden?
Yeah, and then they had that center Pendergraph on that team, man, dude. But this year, I can't go wrong when I click that team on the screen. So I'm hoping that continues. USC, I feel like every year they got like one or two lottery potential players, but never do much in the tournament. Like they're always going to be good. That might be ranked this year. They always have a bunch of talent, but for whatever reason, that coach can't ever seem to quite have a good March run. Utah and Oregon are consistently good in basketball.
What team were you just talking about? It kind of
USC.
Okay, yeah.
And Arizona, again, you got talent, but I don't like how their guards play. It's just my eye test. There's something about the team seems a bit off. If they can get it clicking, that team's scary, but man, since conference play has started, whatever mojo they had in the Maui tournament, that's kind of disappeared. Maybe, and part of it too, is you look at these teams' non-conference schedule, like, damn, that team's having a good year. But then, Chris, you get into regular season play where teams know you. And hey, well, God, we play them every year and they're always tough on us.
Right.
Your non-conference record can look sexy, but then you're going to like, because I was surprised when they went to Utah and they were like only a 4-point favorite. I was like, well, that doesn't make sense or something. And I was like, well, and of course Utah whooped them. You know, it's like one of those things like, conference play, some of those non-district numbers or conference numbers can get a little tough because there's that familiarity angle, much like in the Big Ten. Like, it's hard to go win in places like a Purdue, a Wisconsin, or a Michigan State just because, hey, the teams are good and your non-conference record is not quite justifiable of winning conference games on the road versus a ranked opponent.
Yeah, that's a good call. And closing things out with one of the strongest, I think they have the best wins in the country thus far anyway. I don't know if they, well, actually now I do, damn it. 6-1 Purdue, you know, on top of the Big Ten. Rutgers, who have been solid in recent years, let's say the last 4 to 5 years. Sometimes they'll start out pretty good, then kind of fall to the middle of the pack, maybe sneak in and make a little noise. I think they made it to the second round 1 year, but, right now they're 5-2. It's funny. This thing, if you look at these 4-3, 4-3s, this was all 4-2, not long ago. It literally was 6-1 and then four teams with 4-2 just last week. And so you're looking at it like 4-3, 4-3, 3-3, 3-3, 3-3, 3-3, 3-3. You literally have four teams, 3-3. I expect Nebraska and Minnesota to stay where they are. Indiana, Ohio State started out pretty good. And then definitely falling off, especially Indiana. I think both of them were ranked. I'm not sure. Maryland, we'll see where they go. But it looks like it's a very competitive league. But not top heavy this year. It kind of resembles the ACC, except this year I'd say Purdue. I would pick Purdue over Clemson. Let's say, you know, as far as who's leading right now. But it's really just beat up on each other, and maybe this type of year, rather than having two or three teams where you go, hey, there's three teams that can make the Sweet 16, like. At this point of the year, right? You think that, and then it doesn't happen. Maybe this is the year where all of a sudden Purdue just kind of goes through a pretty good year, not a great year when it comes to the Big Ten, and they end up, you know, finally getting a champion out of the Big Ten, which has been a while. But it just looks on paper like a competitive ass. We gotta work this stuff out because you know, you can't be on Purdue. It's too early with Rutgers, you know, to say, oh, yeah, they're the second-best team. This sure. one just has to be kind of worked out, kind of like the ongoing theme. Like I said, I'm kind of sounding like a broken record at this point.
Well, you're right, though, because normally at this time of the year, you have, like, 6 or 7 teams ranked in the Big Ten. At least that's how it's been for the last handful of years.
Yeah.
And not that these teams can't all be ranked at some point, but, yeah, normally this – God, why do I keep saying district? Conference is
regional.
It's that basketball coaching time.
That's
going
to be a tough section to come out of to go to state. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
We'll get them next year.
It is a bit surprising that a team like a Michigan or a Wolverines or a Sparty is not ranked. Iowa, as usual, great offense, doesn't play much defense. You know, Illinois and Wisconsin normally are ranked this time of the year. Maryland's 2-4. That's more sluggish than they normally start out. So you're right. It'll be interesting to see as our podcast progresses throughout this, especially the rest of this month of January, about how what will these conferences look like for the Big Ten, the ACC, especially a couple weeks from now when you get a little deeper in the season and it gives the conference this time to kind of space some teams out a little bit, or will it be a logjam the whole year? You know, it's hard to say. But the fact that there's only two teams ranked in the Big Ten, and Rutgers is one of them, is interesting. Now, to give Rutgers credit, this is a school, Chris, where over the past 4 years, they've really kind of put themselves on the map to being a team that's going to make it to the tournament. They're going to probably win their first game and cost someone hell. So I that team deserves credit. They've really kind of put that program on a map after being kind of a joke for quite a while. So tip of the cap to them. And, yeah, as of right now, Purdue might be the best team in the country. At least they've been playing to that par. And Purdue is a team, though, that consistently can win two games in March, and then it's almost done. Like, that Purdue is ranked almost every year. They have their opening weekend of success, and it's over. So could this be the year where, in general, Purdue is able to sneak past the Sweet 16 and make a bit of a deeper run? It's possible. I guess time will tell, and we'll see on that. But I do expect, when it comes to February 1st, that you would have a few more teams ranked in the Big Ten, I would assume. But we'll see.
Yeah, it might be just kind of working backwards, you know, rather than having all that hype and then kind of falling apart down the stretch.
True.
Might be interesting. You never know. Like, I'm kind of giving an example of the ACC last year. I'm not saying I see a second Final Four team beyond Purdue at this point. But then again, did I see that with the ACC last year? Fuck no, I didn't. I'll just admit it, you know. Now, North Carolina had played better, and obviously Duke was the team that Purdue was, right, as far as not the same team, say, you know, but as far as I did think Duke could go to the Final Four, didn't think North Carolina or anybody else would, and they did. So we'll see. We'll see. Man, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, good golly almighty, Houston Tulane. Sounds like a good college football game. Tulane second in that conference. Let's see what Houston's got. They're on the road. That's ESPN Plus, at least, not you know, some shit that nobody has. Kansas. Remember I said their schedule's tough here coming up. Kansas at Kansas State. That's a big game. Mississippi State probably not. You know, they're 12-5, but most of that is what you were talking about too. Sometimes you can look good in the non-conference, then slip up. We'll see if Tennessee can kind of go on the road and steady the ship, so to speak. And then the same night, I mean, look at the Big 12 that night. Texas at Iowa State. Like I said, Kansas and Texas looking great so far, but let's see it. And then Wake Forest, you've come a long way, right? You're showing some signs. Clemson's coming into town. Baylor and Texas, I mean, Texas Tech needs this win badly, but Baylor does too. So, I mean, that shit's up in the air. And then, I mean, damn, we got a lot going on. UConn, Seton Hall, at Seton Hall, like you said, on the road can be tough on Wednesday. Providence and Marquette, big, big game. Arkansas at Missouri, huge game for both those teams. Rutgers wants to prove it early on Thursday. They got to go at Michigan State, who just lost. So that's going to be good. And then look at this Pac-12 stuff on Thursday. It's Throwback Thursday. Now, only one of them's on FS1. The other one's on the Pac-12. But USC at Arizona and UCLA at Arizona State. And we haven't even talked about Saturday, Marshall. Holy shit, I'm excited. I think I got a halfie over here.
That is a really good slate of games.
It's a jam-packed district here, I'll tell you that.
And that's only ranked teams, because one thing I love about college basketball is, whether, you know, sometimes in college football you do need the ranked against ranked. In college basketball, though, just because we talked about a lot of good teams today who are not ranked, you can have a very good game of college basketball without ranked teams. Again, with the Big Ten and ACC having so many teams, there's, like, you know, a Carolina, a Duke, you know, an Iowa, a Maryland, or whoever, Michigan State, like, all those teams are playing and they're not ranked. And I mean, this year, you're right, we're getting spoiled with a lot of good games. That Thursday night Pac-12 is going to be really fun. I've not
just
watched
that sentence alone is like, wow, throwback to 13 years ago.
I've not watched UCLA play this year yet, so I'm not sure if I'm going to roll the dice on my ASU cash cow team. Because I'd hate for that streak to end, but hey, that's a hell of a game. Skipping forward to Friday, again, for which normally used to be kind of like an Ivy League only type of college basketball night. Villanova at St. John's, I'll watch that because I love watching St. John's. And for a nightcap, you got Boise State, New Mexico. You were talking about the Mountain West. Boise State currently is tied for first. They're going to the Pit in Albuquerque, New Mexico against the young Patino. And that'll be a hell of a game for an FS1 game at 10 p.m. on a Friday night. That's not bad whatsoever. And that does lead us into Saturday, which you know is just going to be jam-packed with tons of great basketball. You could, again, from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., you got basketball going the whole night. It starts off in the morning with Georgetown going to Xavier. You'd assume, you know, Georgetown's 0-8, Xavier 7-0. That should be a joke of a game, but you never know. Big East is normally pretty competitive. Miami travels to Duke. Duke kind of needs to get a little bit of momentum going. Again, new coach, new program trying to come out and figure stuff out. They've probably been off to a start that Duke fans are not expecting. TCU travels to Kansas. And at noon and at 1 o'clock, UCLA travels to Arizona. I mean, those are two of the better games of the day. And, I mean, that's only they'll both be done by 3 o'clock. Chris, you're right. We're going to be in for a very long, fun year of college basketball. Baylor's going to Oklahoma. Oklahoma, man, all they do is play close games. They lose quite a few of them, but they're close. Bama goes to Mizzou. Texas, who can't shoot threes, travels to West Virginia. Hey, we're in for a very fun Saturday, my friend. This should be a really interesting year just because we have a lot of teams we're used to seeing be ranked who are not ranked, which means the next few months is going to be really enjoyable.
And I'm not going to duck picking some of these games, as you just saw my co-host do for the week, okay? I'm picking both home Big 12 games on Tuesday, Kansas State and Iowa State, to get the dub. I might as well keep it at home. Marquette coming off a tough, tough loss to Xavier on the road. They're gonna take care of business, Marquette, with Providence coming into town. And then I think I'm glad that you mentioned that Friday game because that's really interesting. I'm going to pick Ukala to beat Arizona State, but I like Arizona to protect the home court. I do like that. Then I think Kansas is going to bounce back and beat TCU at home. UCLA, Arizona, what do you think about that one? That's going to be a tough matchup. I don't really know about that one.
I'll take UCLA just because, again, Arizona, man, since they got into conference play, that team has not been clicking like I thought they were in the regular season. Now, that could change. You beat UCLA, and all of a sudden that's the best one you've had in the year, and things are going good. But that offense just doesn't quite do it for me yet. And defensively, I don't think they're that good of a team either. So I'll take the UCLA Bruins that matchup. And TCU, I'll take KU. TCU's offense, they have too many kind of occasional little droughts where I think it's going to be hard for them to win on the road in Kansas.
All right, my friend. Any last words before we wrap it up here?
No, but like I said, I think we're in for a very fun, enjoyable college basketball season. And again, if we have parity this year, that makes this podcast more fun and makes your March Madness brackets, which will begin in about 8 weeks, really more fun to even fill out. So until then, we're back next week. Thanks for the support as always. We're out. Go Cowboys. Have a good night. Peace.